I'm just kind of looking at him. And we kind of look at each other.
It felt like we all were family who lost someone.
I don't really say sorry, because New Yorkers just don't talk or acknowledge each other during rush hour.
I'm like, sure. And again, we go in there, and we're doing it. We're chilling out, it's only us two in there.
We couldn't get out till the train pulled into the next stop.
I'm Christina Baez, and you're listening to The Subway Portraits. Welcome, and thanks for tuning in. The Subway Portraits podcast serves as an oral history of people's experiences riding in New York City's MTA subway. In today's episode, The Everlasting, The Disgust, The News, and more, you'll hear a range of memories from a decision that lasts a lifetime to someone's memory finding out that the rapper The Notorious B.I.G. passed away back in 97. But before we begin, I want to make it clear that The Subway Portraits does not in any way condone violence, illegal activity, discrimination, or abuse of any kind. And with that, let's jump right in. Coincidentally, everlasting.
I'll never forget the moment, probably about 9 or 10 years ago, when I moved to New York from Los Angeles and really didn't know a lot of people out here. And I think within about 6 months of being in New York City, I was riding the subway every single day, working in Soho, living in Williamsburg, and I remember, I think this was a weekend day, and I'm not exactly sure where I was headed, but I was on the 6 train, I remember that clearly, the green line, and we were headed towards, I think, Union Square, and I believe I was headed a little further north, probably to Grand Central, but somewhere around Canal or something like that, I get onto the train, and it's a pretty packed train, and, you know, from one pole, one door entrance to the other, I see a guy across the way, and he looks real familiar, but can't recognize where I know him from, and so I'm just kind of looking at him, and we kind of look at each other, and, you know, we go a stop, and then I think I walked over to him and said, hey, I don't, you know, not exactly sure where I know you from, but I think, and then we realized we were at a mutual friend's birthday party a couple weeks prior. And so we started talking, and little did I know or expect that this person who I'd never talked to before, but had seen from afar at a mutual friend's birthday party, happened to have applied to the same graduate program, the same unique graduate program that, I don't know, only a handful of people in the world really know about or apply to, and more specifically, to work with the researcher, the advisor that I was particularly, that I had applied and was interested in working with and for. And so somehow on this ride, we managed to uncover all these similarities of our interests between design, media art, you know, and all things kind of entrepreneurial and thinking about the future. And I exchanged numbers. I gave him my cell and he gave me his, and we didn't actually contact each other for probably about 6 months. And then I sent him a text message out of the blue. I think it was 6 months, possibly as long as a year, and invited him to an opening of a project, my very first project, which was a museum installation, an interactive museum installation at the Tenement Museum, and invited him to the opening of it. And he, believe it or not, showed up. And we've been best friends in the 8 years, 9 years since. So he's, continues this day to be one of my best friends. That's my subway story. Hope you enjoy it. I hope you meet your best friend on the subway too.
Finger message.
It was several years ago, maybe around 2017 or 2018, on, I believe, the 6 train uptown. And it was during rush hour, so a lot of people were on. I get on and I accidentally shuffle into this guy's foot. And he must have been tall because his legs and feet were huge, and so they took up a lot of space. And he wasn't trying to take up less space, which would have been nice because people standing had no room. Anyways, if it's crowded enough, I can get away with not holding the poles and be supported by a lot of people around me. I hate holding the rails because of all the germs. But if I have to, I use my middle finger to hold on because it's the longest finger and it can wrap around the pole the most. So I shuffle into this guy, but I don't really say sorry because New Yorkers just don't talk or acknowledge each other during rush hour. And the guy just glares at me. And then he decides to step on my foot really hard. So I stare back at him and move my foot away and just readjust. I'm like, what the fuck? But fine, maybe it was accidental. I'm on my phone holding the pole with my middle finger and he continues to stare at me. And I glance at him every so often wondering why, but then I realize he's putting his middle finger up at me. At first, it's kind of subtle. He keeps his hands near his waist. So I don't react, and he decides to raise it up higher and higher until his middle finger is close to his face. I know the girl standing next to me is kind of like, what is wrong with this crazy guy? And I'm like, what the hell? And it just takes his crazy glares before I realize that he thinks my middle finger wrapped on the pole is my way of subtly saying fuck you to him for having stepped on my foot, I guess. At first I'm like, well, I won't change my behavior because of this guy, but his glares get so aggressive that I wonder if he's going to attack me because he's racist. I'm not white, but he is. I don't know. Anyways, I believe I switched to my pointer finger at some point to hold the rail, but eventually I just got off at my stop. And thankfully before him, so I don't have to deal with him aggressively pushing me off or something as he exits.
Young, dumb, and dirty.
Okay, so I'm on the train. It's late night. I'm with a friend. The last car is completely dark, and I'm riding dirty as shit. I got a gun in my waist and drugs in my pocket, coming from uptown, doing the do. Now, this is in the 90s, when I was much younger and dumber. Let me just state that very clearly. Anyway, so we're like almost home at this point. This is on the N train. All right, we're almost home, probably about 3 stops away. And we're like, hey, why don't we go in the last car and roll up a blunt? We weren't planning on smoking it on the train or anything, nothing like that. Just, hey, let's just roll it up. And me, not thinking, I'm like, sure. And again, we go in there and we're doing it and we're chilling out. And it's only us two in there. All of a sudden, literally a stop away, a fucking cop walks through the goddamn in between the car door. And he's like, oh, you know, my heart dropped. First of all, I'm like, holy shit, I'm fucked. Okay, so he looks, he's in. Now, he's probably a rookie. The guy looks young. We're young, too. You know what I'm saying? I'm probably like 20 years old at this point. And he looks at us and he's like, hey, guys, I got to ask you guys, you know, what are you doing back here? And we're like, I immediately just thought like, not an officer, to be honest, we were just rolling up a blunt. We were getting off next stop, whatever. We saw the lights were off, and yeah, it's stupid, blase, blase, blah. And he's like, all right, listen, I'm not even going to trip on y'all because of that, but do me a favor, y'all can't be in this car. So just, for the meantime, go back in the other car and wait. And that was it. And he took off, and our stop came, and we bounced, and whew, by the skin of my ass, yo, but... Anyway, that was my story.
More stories to come. But before we get to those, I want to give a huge thank you to those who've submitted their stories. This project would not be possible without you. Thank you. And if you have your own subway story, or if you've already submitted one, but have more memories to share, then go to our site at www.thesubwayportraits.com and become a part of this living history for future generations to reference. You can record from your cell phone, laptop, or desktop. And to make it easier for you, I've added the direct link to record your story in this episode's show notes. Now back to the show.
Unexpected drop-in.
Rush hour, I was on a crowded train. And a woman gets on a train while the train is absolutely packed. Squat, pulls up her skirt, her dress, and poops right in the middle of the train. In between the cars, like in between the, I swear to you, this happened. And everybody was like throwing up and they had to wait till the next stop. Once we hit the next stop, like a brick like came out of her butt, like psh. So, and everybody's like covering their mouth, cup. Rush hour, but we couldn't get out till the train pulled into the next stop, and then ghost town. As soon as the doors open, everybody like rushed out. People were puking along the way, the whole nine yards.
Notorious death.
I remember this day like it was yesterday. It was 1997. I just got on the A train at Broadway Junction in Brooklyn, headed towards downtown Brooklyn to school. At that time, I was attending City Tech. And as I got on the train, you know, the vibe was a little different. I'm listening to my CD, have my headphones on. Yes, CDs. I used to have a CD player. For any young people born recently, CD players existed before the iPad, iPod, iPhone, Android, and such forth and so forth. So anyway, I'm on the train and, you know, I hear somebody scream and cry. And I'm like, what's going on? I shut off my CD player. I took off my headphones. I looked at the guy next to me and I said, what's going on? He said, did you hear? Biggie was shot. He's dead. And I'm like, no, that's impossible. Biggie is not dead. He was not shot. And all of a sudden, it was kind of like that subway cart was people that you would have thought that people knew each other. It was the first time that I actually saw people talking to each other, not screaming, not fighting. It was the first time that I'm on a subway cart and, you know, people were kind of like consoling each other. I never saw that before in my life. I think I was 17 or 18 at that time. I think I was 17 actually. And I was just like, wow. But I was more shocked that Biggie died. Like, no way. Now, mind you, Biggie's from Best Buy. So the A train passes by Best-Eye, passes through Best-Eye, I should actually say. So it just felt even heartbreaking because you're like, what? No, no way. And I couldn't believe it. That's one thing I have to say, being on that A train, it felt like we all were family who lost someone, you know, a family member, you know? That's one thing I remember on the A train. That's one positive thing that I could say on the A train, that people were actually consoling each other, even though I do hate the A train. But it's one day I won't forget. The day that Biggie died. I found that on the A train from a stranger. I thought he was going to hug me. I thought we were all going to hug each other. That's how it felt. And that's one day that I found out that, wow, there are nice people out there. It's sad that people get together when, you know, tragedy strikes. But it's good to know that there are still nice people out there. Rest in peace, Biggie. Forever Brooklyn.
Keep tuning in to hear real stories told by real people. And be sure to check out the animated versions of stories shared on this podcast on our YouTube channel. There's a direct link in this show's notes. Don't forget to follow and subscribe. Thanks for listening. Ride with us. Until next time.